And thanks for having me here tonight. The Northern Pass project, the first thing I heard about it, which really bothered me, was months and months ago when I heard something about this eminent domain project, and it was a done deal. And that bothered me because eminent domain, in my experience and my feeling, should never be a done deal because it's citizens we're talking about. So I started researching it, and I've done a tremendous amount of research, and I was lucky enough to be assigned to go from my committee, which is Judiciary Committee, to be a visitor to the Science, Energy, and Technology Committee to actually sit and be honored to work with Senator Forrester on the amendment to House Bill 648. At that day, we were looking at House Bill 648 and 649, which both address eminent domain and this Northern Pass project. I'm going to very briefly go into what I've learned about the Northern Pass project, which most of you people probably already know. But I also, besides being in hearings, also have met with PSNH representatives for over an hour after a luncheon that they had. It was me and just two representatives of the PSNH, and we talked about it. The Northern Pass project is a purely economic project. It was never planned as a need. It is what they call an economic project. It is not part of the needed power. They never planned for this power. It has nothing to do with the reliability of the system. What happened is Hydro-Quebec is selling power. New Hampshire has an excess of power that goes to the southern states. And this was going to be just come right through the entire state, and it's to service the increasing power needs of the southern states. Now, when I met with PSNH, another thing that bothered me is the president of PSNH was saying that we have to consider ourselves one energy user. New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, you know, the northeastern region. And so therefore, when we're talking about these issues, we can't just think of New Hampshire as it's on its own. And I told him that I thought that that was okay for PSNH to say as a commercial company, but I represent people and the Constitution of New Hampshire. And the Constitution of New Hampshire doesn't say anything about Massachusetts or Connecticut, and it shouldn't. So in leaving that, the PSNH portion of it, the energy is not needed in New Hampshire. It's not planned on in New Hampshire. The other issue they look at is reliability, and this is not needed for reliability. It is purely an economic project so the big companies can make money. And it's not a bad project if they planned it correctly, but I don't think they've done that yet. So eminent domain came into the issue, and when I started researching it, the first thing I did was talk to my brother, who was one of the sponsors of the eminent domain constitutional amendment. And that came out of, if you remember, a Supreme Court case of the United States where Justice Souter, everybody said he was a bad guy, but in fact, they voted to say that states are where eminent domain, states determine their own issues about eminent domain. I think it was a Connecticut city that had allowed, that had used eminent domain to take a huge residential area, take it and give it to a developer so a large mall and commercial area could be developed. And everybody was up in arms, especially here in New Hampshire where we value our individual liberties. So the U.S. Supreme Court said, and Justice Souter agreed with, and he was one of the majority opinion, said that this really isn't a federal issue. This is a state issue. So New Hampshire in 2006 made it a state issue, and we enacted an eminent domain constitutional amendment. It came to the citizens, and you said 85%?
85% of the folks in New Hampshire voted for the constitutional amendment that was put forth, which was a tremendous number. That doesn't happen very often.
Right, and it's Article 12A, and it simply says, no part of a person's property shall be taken by eminent domain and transferred directly or indirectly to another person if the taking is for the purpose of private development or other private use of the property. Well, right now, Northern Pass is a private company. They're moving to change that to try to move it over to PSNH so it'll be public utility or whatever. But what happened in 2006 is that reinforced the fact that 85% of New Hampshire citizens value this eminent domain concept and the restrictions on it. What didn't happen is the statute was never updated. There was an eminent domain statute and for years, and previous the latest time it was amended was 1998. It's kind of a weak statute. It allows PSNH and allows public utilities to do a lot of things, but it never reflected the changes of the constitutional amendment. It needs to be made stronger. So some people, when they realized what was happening, put in two bills, 648, there were three bills actually, but 648 is the one that made it. And what they did is change some language that was kind of aimed at Northern Past. And in May, we'll be submitting another bill to strengthen another part of the statute. But what we did is we had hearings. Besides, once determining that it's not needed, it's not doesn't need it for reliability or anything, we looked at the language. And at the hearing that I was at with the Science Technology Committee, the PUC was there also, Public Utilities Commission of New Hampshire, and they and us got together for like an hour and worked out language that was acceptable to them. Because some of the language that was presented, initially they had, they were saying eminent domain can't be used for a direct current transmission line, but they said, what about if there's another direct current transmission line that is okay? So the language that came out is, we made the statute stronger by saying, eminent domain, no public utility may petition for permission to take private land or property rights for the construction or operation of an electric generating plant. That's what it used to be. And what we did is we added, or a transmission facility, so long as a transmission facility is not needed for system reliability. And PUC is fine with that, because the only thing they're concerned about is system reliability. You know, you have this energy and you have a secondary source, a tertiary source, and whatever. So this is fine with the PUC. It passed committee and it passed the House and it now lies in the Senate. And I think it's a very good partial change to the statute, and then in May we're going to submit some other changes in another area, and that would be in the Judiciary Committee, not in the Science and Technology Committee. But that's my involvement in it. I've met with a lot of people. I've met with organizers up north months ago, and every public hearing on Northern Pass, almost without exception, the huge response of the public has been negative. People do not want it. Where would you expect it to be a little different? Franklin, of course, because that's where they're going to have a conversion station or whatever, and they're going to have a lot of tax dollars. But even in Franklin, it wasn't all positive. I think it was about 50-50. So we've had a huge outcry, and it's really good to see. It really is. Because what I see this as, I've met with PSNH, and they told me that there were ways that they would address this, but they didn't want to let it out there because they were afraid people, and they haven't addressed it like that. I think they've done everything wrong, and now that they've said we're going to eliminate all the alternative routes and we're just going for this main route, I think that's a mistake also, because that's not what the people are asking for. I think in doing that, they were trying to eliminate a lot of the opposition, thinking that the people on the alternative routes would go away. But it's really good to see the citizens are standing up and saying, if you do it right. And right, by the way, many of us think is underground. And PSNH says it's not feasible to do underground. And then somebody showed us a study of where Hydro-Québec in New York State is doing twice the distance underground. And it's feasible for them, but it's not feasible here. We have more of a rocky state, but especially in the North Country, where it's pristine and for over 125 years, we've put legislative protections up there to keep it pristine. It's not the right thing to do. I'd be glad to. I've probably been a little long-winded. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Well, just a minute, Mr. Ryan. And I would like questions. Select people as they raise their hand.
Sorry about that.
But what I'd like to, I have a question, Representative Dyer. System reliability seems to be a very key term, and I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it has been determined that New Hampshire, there's no need for this power in New Hampshire. Is that an official position of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or where does that come from?
The Public Utilities Commission.
Public Utilities Commission.
Right.
Okay.
And PSNH. They can't deny that the power is not needed in New Hampshire. What they'll say is a certain percentage of power will go to New Hampshire. Okay. But the facts are that when they look at system supply and they look at reliability, those are the two things that are measured. And that's why when we put a facility is not needed for system reliability, the PUC is fine with that, because they said, this is, like I said, this is what they classify as an economic project, purely for money. It wasn't in the 10-year plan or the 20-year plan. It was something that came up, and they want to do to make money. And PSNH stands to make a lot of money, and that's fine as long as they respect the people's rights and you know, don't trample them. So yes, it's not needed for reliability, wasn't in the reliability plan. It's not needed in the supply, wasn't in the supply plan.
And that's been verified and determined by PUC and public service companies.
Yeah. We actually generate 4,000 megawatts now in New Hampshire, and I think we export, 2,400 megawatts. So we've got enough energy. And when they testified, PUC was at the hearing with us, and they testified that it was not needed for system reliability. So
now, how does that, enter into it in the permitting process? Because this is being permitted by FERC, is that correct? Federal Energy Regulatory Commission?
Department of Energy. Department of Energy is doing the scoping. But yeah, I think it is a federal project. And that's kind of what we've heard from the very beginning, is that there's nothing we can do. It's out of our hands. Which
it is a federal. I think every project we scope is a federal project. And the many times people would like you to think that it's out of your hands, but the input that they take, this input has been amazing. And I would be very surprised if it continues that the project goes forward in its current state.